This is the award-winning Speak Your Piece with Darren Dudrick on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM KODI, and 1140 AM KZMQ.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Darren Dudrick. If you have a comment or a question, you may call us at 587-1400 or 1-866-833-4400. Speaker Piece is brought to you by Tim Mayhew of Level 4 Wealth Management in downtown Cody. Call today for no-cost, no-obligation consultation, 586-2700. Also brought to you in part by Precision Lawn Care. Reliable service with precise results. Call 899-0489. Also brought to you in part by First Bank of Wyoming, your home lending partner in town, and Mountain High Health Foods. For health foods, vitamins, herbs, books, anything for healthy living, stop by Mountain High Health Foods, top of the hill in Cody. Once again, the phone number is 587-1400 or 1-866-833-4400. When calling, we ask callers to please tell us your first and last name. We limit callers to one call per show. Today's guests on Speaker Piece, well, we welcome them back. The Park County Commissioners, Joe Tilden and Lauren Grosskopf. Gentlemen, how are you doing today?
Good morning.
Doing well.
Well, you know, you're not blocked by state basketball or Liz Cheney this week, so we got you. Now, it's not in your typical day Friday, but I guess Thursday works just as well.
It'll work just fine, and I don't mind being bumped by those causes.
Okay, so those are just
pretty close to Friday.
That was fine.
Yeah, it is close for Friday. Well, yep. Maybe Thursday will give you guys a chance. Get better luck. Maybe people call up and say nice things about you.
Be nice.
You know. I shouldn't have said that. I probably just jinxed the whole process. All right. Hey, well, you know, I got to try something. Anyway, you guys, I'm assuming, have been really busy since I talked to you guys last. And one of the big things that's been talked about in the media, and I know you want to get started talking about this, is the Wyoming Public Lands Initiative. Regarding wilderness areas, McCullough Peaks and High Lakes, I understand no agreement was, met, so there are going to be some meetings scheduled.
Well,
right?
Yeah, correct. And I'll be glad to start off. Lauren, you come get in there whenever you want. There's a lot of misinformation that's been spread out there about what the action that the commissioners took. And I know there's been some posts on Facebook here the last week or so from the Greater Yellowstone Coalition, accusing the county commissioners of Park County of circumventing the process, bringing them, derailing the grassroots consensus.
Wait a minute, false accusations in social media? Oh, yeah, it happens all
true,
the time.
True.
If
I get accused of something I did, I can certainly take the heat, but when I don't do it, it really upsets me.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you for that.
And on this particular deal, we set up the committee. And they were supposed to come with a recommendation sometime this spring. They are 3 months behind. The committee was absolutely stonewalled by the environmentalists that were members of the committee. And, you know, we as commissioners are being accused of circumventing the process and bringing them a premature vote. And the only thing we asked them to do, we gave them a deadline of March 30th to come with a recommendation on the WSA up in the Beartooth, the High Lakes. Because we were debating whether or not that we were going to support Liz Cheney's bill. And that's a lot of other misinformation that's out there, is we did vote unanimously to support Liz's bill. Lauren and I, when she was in town last week, along with Tim French, met with her for quite a while, and we discussed her legislation. And in our opinion, the WPLI process and Liz Cheney's proposed legislation can basically function as two individual things. And all Liz's bill does is say that those uses on the three Forest Service WSAs, two over in, well, there's one in Teton, one in Park, and then there's one that's divided between Sublette and Teton County. And all her legislation does is says that any uses prior to 1984 will be in existence from now on, regardless of what the nomenclature is, whether they remain a WSA, whether they're a special management area or whatever, regardless of what happens in the future. That's all our legislation says.
And with respect to the High Lakes, what we're talking about, if you look at what the pre-existing for 84 before that legislation happened, that's what's occurring now. So what's occurring now would not change. It wouldn't be any more. It wouldn't be any less.
No.
But they took away that designation and said, this is what it was before, and we're going to make sure it stays that way, and it's not subject to whims of a politician going down in the future.
Right. And the other thing that's happened now with the WPLI committee is they had to have absolute consensus, meaning 100% approval of any recommendations, which that was their charter going forward. And the commissioners didn't have anything to do with their charter. They wrote their own charter and passed on it.
And they were the only, as far as we know, they were the only county that decided to do it that way versus the other counties in the state, where consensus meant basically the majority.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was a minority opinion that felt strong enough, they were, I don't know if instructed, they were advised that they could bring the consensus, the majority report to the commissioners for consideration, and a minority report and their position, both of them could rise, be given to the county commissioners for consideration. So the commissioners would basically see both sides.
And so anyway, what's happened now is by blocking the environmentalists, blocking the WPLI process and not coming, moving forward with any type of recommendation, their hopes is that nothing will happen to those WSAs, that there will be no recommendation from the county commissioners, and they will remain in limbo as they have been for the last 30-some-odd years. And their hope is that going forward, if they remain WSAs and nothing is actually acted upon, that sometime in the future with a change of administration, change of county government, state government, whatever, that they can get wilderness.
And part of the misinformation that that's been spread is that there are some people said that because of the charter, this advisory group, what they drafted, that we were bound by that we had to accept whatever recommendation. If there was no recommendation, we could not advance our own. And they also said that the WCCA, the state level, they couldn't accept anything from the commissioners because the committee couldn't agree. And that's entirely incorrect. We never agreed to that. The state never agreed to that. Yeah, I mean, the people that are throwing that out there said that we're blocked now because one person blocked the vote. We're not blocked, and we never agreed to that. We never would have agreed to that. Neither would the state of Wyoming. I mean, that would circumvent the whole purpose if one person in the state could block and not move forward. That isn't the purpose of this whole process.
So the bottom line, the initiative got blocked by some environmentalists in order to delay this yet again until they get the administration or the commissioners they want to move forward with their agenda.
You're exactly right.
Okay.
And basically what happened, we were accused of basically calling for a premature vote, which we did not do. We asked them for a recommendation on the McCullough Peaks, on the High Lakes, because we wanted to decide whether we wanted to back Liz's bill or not. McCullough Peaks never entered into it. It was the chairman of the committee, Bucky Hall. It was his decision to vote on both the WSAs that night because he felt that they would never come to consensus, and he wanted to bring it to a head.
Hmm.
And, it wasn't like it was a short-term event. This is month 22. It was pretty obvious after the last two or three months of meeting. We didn't want to send the 20-some people that are part of this committee and just continue meeting every month after month when both sides are polarized and we're not going to budge. And they knew that the spring of 18 right now was kind of like the informal deadline. What was the purpose of them continuing when they were at loggerheads? They weren't going to be able to advance any agenda.
Yeah, and so anyway, what the commissioner decided to do, since we didn't get any kind of recommendation, consensus recommendation from the committee, we're going to the people. And we have two public hearings scheduled for the 25th and 26th of April. 25th is down in Powell, 7 o'clock in the evening at the fairgrounds with our new multipurpose building. What's the name of that?
Heart Mountain Hall.
Yeah. And then the second meeting will be 7 o'clock here in Cody on the 26th, and that's going to be at the Cody Club Room downtown. And I would encourage everybody to come. And we will have a sign-up sheet if you wish to speak. If you just want to make a comment, we'll have some comment sheets at the door.
So with those meetings, you're going to get feedback from the community. You take the feedback, then what happens?
Well, then basically we will discuss it amongst ourselves as commissioners, and I personally would like to take some of the recommendations and the dialogue that came out of the WPLI committee and try and incorporate that in some potential draft legislation, which we'll submit to the WCCA.
Okay, and that's the WCCA, again, it stands for?
Wyoming County Commissioners Association.
And what happens when they get hold of it, if they pass it, it becomes?
Yeah, basically they will help draft the legislation. And the process, it'll be drafted and, it'll be put in a draft form, sent back out to the commissioners. They'll look at it, make any changes, and eventually it'll go to Washington. The timeline right now is to have proposed legislation sometime when the next Congress meets in January of 2019. That's the timeline we're working on.
If you go backwards a couple of years, Governor Meade, this was his initiative three years ago probably,
yep.
And he asked, to get this started, and so he asked the WCCA to take this project on, and say, okay, this would be a really good vehicle to make this happen in the state. So the WCCA agreed, and then they engaged all the counties, and we engaged. We started this, the advisory group committee. So the Governor Meade, is really the one that started all this. And, he'll be part of when we advance everything at WCCA before it goes to Washington, part of that will the governor's staff will have a chance to look at that. Not that they're going to change our language, but.
And for those people that aren't really following this, the Wyoming Public Lands Initiative, it was looking at whether there should be more wilderness areas than McCullough Peaks and High Lakes. Is that the general way to explain that to people?
Well, here in Park County, we have two wilderness study areas. One, which is the High Lakes up in the Beartooth Mountains.
That's Forest Service.
And that was created by an act of Congress with the Forest Service. The other WSA we have in Park County is McCullough Peaks. And that was created by administrative fiat, for lack of a better term, through the BLM. And so there's three Forest Service. There's 42 altogether in the state of Wyoming, I believe. 42 or 43. Three of them are Forest Service, which were created by an act of Congress. And the others were created by the BLM. And so for years, they've just been hanging out there. And even their wilderness study areas. But in all honesty, they've never been studied as wilderness. Congress has never acted on them as wilderness, so they've just been de facto wilderness for 30-plus years.
Well, with respect to the BLM properties, they were asked back – well, the enabling legislation probably goes back to FLTMA in 1976. And then in the early 80s, they requested or required the BLM to inventory all their lands and suggest if there was something that should be wilderness. Well, they did that. And we have the BLM reports from 1980s, where they said, here's the different properties that have wilderness characteristics, and of course, and then they advanced those through the BLM, like Joe said, to the Congress. Congress never acted on them. Nobody acted on them. They've been sitting there being managed as, for their wilderness characteristics all this time.
And the question is whether there should be more wilderness or what less wilderness. That's
right.
What it boils down to.
Well, I mean, exactly. These WSAs have been hanging out there for 30-some-odd years, and the existing uses as far as recreation is concerned have been able to continue, but that's it.
Let's go to the phone line. Call it. Please state your first and last name.
This is Keith Dallum.
Hey.
Good morning, Keith.
Hey, Keith.
Good morning, guys. Hey, of course, I'm a great wilderness advocate. You know that.
Well, sure.
No, I'm not. Anyway, I got to live with it from 1964, when they did the Wilderness Act. And, they locked up a lot of ground that could have been used, for multiple use,
sure.
Logging and other things, minerals, a lot of stuff that, so I'm not a great fan of the Wilderness Act or there that came with it. And I think we've already got enough wilderness in this United States, and Forest Service, they manage it. They can do it from the golf course, so there's not much management of a wilderness area. The other thing that I don't know what's addressed, what about roadless areas?
I'm not sure what your question is. What do you mean,
about
roadless
areas? Well, a lot
of this
on the North Fork was roadless area.
Right, sure.
So when they did the logging here a number of years ago in 2004,
right.
They couldn't log it because they couldn't drive on it. I could drive my Volkswagen all over it. Literally, but they couldn't log it because it was in roadless areas, so they left it.
Well, sure,
to get.
Sure. And, the roadless areas basically are handled primarily through the forest management process, and I know Lauren and I, we went through that process with the Shoshone.
So what's happening with those? Are they still sitting there?
They're still sitting there.
They're still sitting there, and that's, that's one of the problems we have on the Shoshone and why this WSA up in the Beartooth is so important as far as being able to continue with recreational use is concerned, because on the Shoshone Forest between roadless area and actual designated wilderness, and I personally consider roadless areas as de facto wilderness, you're looking at 85% of the forest is either one of those two things. So 85% of the forest is tied up.
people. That's where I'm coming from.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, and we had a sawmill here in Cody. The Shoshone Forest should have been able to support a sawmill. It's a huge forest. I don't think there's anything left there. RY or whatever the company is out of Livingston or Belgrade or Townsend or something, they're logging over by Matizzi. They're on Grass Creek and hauling, you know, minimal logs out. But, boy, that's a long ways to haul log when we had a nice sawmill in Cody with a workforce that produced a great product. And you know, the tax base was here in Cody. So that's another thing about the forest is, I mean, it's almost a dead forest now. You know,
well, it is.
They've had so many fires. The Gun Barrel fire in 2008 was a great example. It's either bug-killed or burnt. One other subject I wanted to get on, which I sent Lorna Dale, and I'll send the rest of you commissioners, and that was the shorting that we're getting out of Yellowstone Park. I figured up it's 11 weeks that Wyoming's being shorted, you know, cumulative from the south and east entrances. And I don't know, it's probably a big, you know, it's money for the county. But, you know, taking a look at, I'll send you that, Joe. Lauren knows what I'm talking about because I sent him the letter, but I'll go ahead and...
Well, you're talking about the public access to the shoulder seasons. Keith is right about whether when the road is available to be open, why can't the public use it versus administrative use?
It used to be historical that, you know, the park used to open May 1st. They're open on the west side on the 20th, which I don't have a problem with that. Hooray for them. I don't want the east entrance to open the 20th of April or this... south either, but you know, my goal is to get the park open the last Friday in April rather than the first Friday in May, because that would give us 5 weeks right there in Wyoming, and the south entrance would be open the same time as the east, and then also in the winter season. I talked to Liz Cheney the other day when Darren had her on her program, and I got my point across. I think I got sent her a letter after that. But anyway, and then same way in the winter. They closed the east entrance to the 1st of March this year. The rest of it was open till the 15th, which was a Thursday. That was an odd day. I think the winter season ought to be extended to the third week in March for the south, the east, and the west entrances. The north, they'll start plowing. I don't have a problem with that. And then also in the fall, they open a week later in December to the east entrance than the rest of the entrances. So the total, and then if they do, there's the other thing, is this 15th of October shutdown of the east entrance, which is stupid. I mean, there's no way that, you know, if West Yellowstone, if the Madison Bridge needed to be replaced between Madison and West Yellowstone, I think West Yellowstone would come unglued if they were going to close it the 15th of October.
Sure.
But the people here in Cody, the people in the tourism industry and, the management or the, you know, the, anyway, people that aren't dependent on the tourism salary. Their salary comes whether the park is closed or not. But if you're a waitress or a bed maker or a business owner that's in the tourism business, the faucet's shut off.
Sure.
But the people some of the people that made decisions and were quoted in the paper, their salary's coming anyway. They don't get hurt at all. So anyway, the Army, they've got, 1,000 Bailey bridges in this country. They could sure use them. And also, if they put them in early in the year, that way they could work on the thing all summer. They wouldn't have to wait till the 15th of October.
Well, you know, Keith, one of the things, when Lauren and I and Tim met with Liz last week, and we discussed some of the problems in Yellow, potential problems, and, you know, there's no question that the fishing bridge needs to be handled. There's no question about that. I don't necessarily agree with what they're doing. But we broached the subject with her about the proposed viaduct across Pelican Creek, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. And I haven't seen any figures on that yet, but I presume it's going to be somewhere between $15 to $20 million+. And there's so many other roads in Yellowstone that can be upgraded for that kind of money. And I don't understand their reasoning behind that. I mean,
I'm not questioning their reasoning. They'll go ahead and build it, whatever they want to do. But you can sure put a Bailey Bridge in there and float it all summer long. It's environmental friendly. When they take it out, there's no you don't know it even was there except for the approaches, and they can be reclaimed. With a minimal amount of doing.
Well, sure. I mean, I would totally agree with that. The only point I was making with the viaduct over Pelican Creek is, why do they want to spend that money there when that money can be used elsewhere in the park?
They're going to build a big, fancy bridge instead of a causeway. I mean, it's going to be on stilts. all the way across there. So
exactly.
You guys, you know, went up there when you went to that meeting last spring in the
we
park.
Did.
They told you. So you guys are, in, you know exactly what's happening. But,
sure.
You know, my deal is they can build a 1 or 2 lane Bailey Bridge. Traffic can flow all summer. They can build their construction bridge right next to the other bridge and work all summer long.
They could.
With the traffic out of the way. I mean, that's my point. And I hope that maybe there's somebody that's smarter than the administration of Yellowstone Park will make some decisions.
Well, you know, Keith, one of the problems you have in dealing with any federal bureaucracy, be it Yellowstone Park or when you're dealing with the BLM on an RMP or the Forest Service with a new Forest Service plan, the socioeconomics of whatever they're going to do is last on their list of things to analyze. They don't care about the economics and the impact that they have on the surrounding
they
community.
They don't care about the visitors. They don't care about the economics of the people here or the economy or the Wyoming community. They just, they're themselves. I'll send you the letter, Joe. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks, Kate. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the call. And we're going to take a quick break on Speaker Piece. If you'd like to join the conversation today with the Park County Commissioners, Lauren Grosskopf and Joe Tilden, give us a call, 587-1400. We'll be back with more Speaker Piece right after these messages.
The views and or opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily the views and or opinions of this station or its advertisers.
Pain should not be a way of life. This is Linda Brown. Last week, I heard someone say, "Oh, I've tried physical therapy." It occurred to me that I've never heard someone say, "Oh, I've tried going to the doctor." Your therapy experience may vary, dependent on your physical therapist's interests, clinical approach, or specialized training. You have a choice in your healthcare decisions. Come see why our patients refer their family and friends to Advantage Rehab Physical Therapy in Cody, 587-9866, or Powell, 754-2019.
Worland Livestock Auction has exciting news. We want to welcome Danny Vigil and his family to the family at Worland Livestock Auction. Danny is now acting as our new field representative. You know and trust Danny Vigil. He's been a Bighorn Basin fixture forever. Call Stacy Newby or Danny Vigil at 347-9201. Worland Livestock Auction holds auctions every Thursday at 11 or see our auctions at lmaauctions.com. Let us help you get the most for your animals.
Is it time to replace your flooring? Maybe you've decided to do hardwood and an area rug, or time to finally get the tile you've always wanted. But where to go? The answer? To your Abbey Carpet Store in Cody. You'll be amazed at what you can accomplish in just one visit. Your Abbey Carpet professionals are available 5 days a week to answer your questions, offer suggestions, and work with you to supply the best service, both with product and installation. What are you waiting for? Abbey Carpet in Cody is open 8 to 5:30 Monday through Friday.
Make probiotics part of your daily routine. This is Marty from Mountain High Health Foods, and we offer premium probiotic formulas to keep your digestive system running smoothly and to support a strong, healthy immune system. Stress, a poor diet, and certain medications can all reduce the number of beneficial bacteria in the intestines, causing you distress. Stop in today and ask about probiotics. Mountain High Health Foods, open Monday through Saturday at the top of the hill in Cody. Products with a purpose.
The Bighorn Co-op has locations in Riverton, Worland, Basin, Powell, Grable, and Buffalo to help you travel around our area. They've got everything a convenience store needs and so, so much more. From new tires and the guys to put them on to animal feeds and pet supplies. You can pick up supplies to fix your furnace or your plumbing. Fill your vehicle with gas and fill your tummy with treats. Stop by and see what the Bighorn Co-op has to make your day easier. The Bighorn Co-op in Grable, Basin, Worland, Riverton, Powell, and Buffalo.
Springtime is the time to buy a new Polaris off-road vehicle. During our spring sales events, rebates go up to $1,200 and financing is as low as 2.99% APR for 36 months on high-performance RZRs, Sportsman ATVs, and hard-working Rangers. Stop into Rogers Sports Center at 2812 Bighorn Avenue in Cody today.
Offers valid in U.S. through 4/30/18 on select new 2014 through 2017 vehicles. Subject to credit approval, offers vary by model. See dealer for details. Always wear a helmet, never drink and ride.
WeatherShield brand is a complete line of premium quality windows and doors. From all wood, vinyl, aluminum, or fiberglass, there is a series that fits your home's unique style and function. WeatherShield windows and doors offer the greatest design flexibility due to custom shape capabilities. An expansive offering of options, including traditional, modern, and contemporary, are available to create the look you desire. Wyoming Windows and Cabinets can help you find the exquisite style and options that make all the difference. Stop by the showroom at 2206 Sheridan Avenue or call 587-0717 for your estimate today.
Listen up, Bighorn Basin residents. It's coming. Wyoming's largest indoor RV super show, April 26th, 27th, and 28th at Riley Arena in Cody. The baddest toy haulers are coming. The number one luxury fifth wheel is coming. April 26th, 27th, and 28th at Riley Arena in Cody. Prepare yourself now. Midway RV, when you expect the best. Shop online at midwaycampers.com.
We are back on Speak Your Peace. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Darren Dudrick. Today I'm visiting with the Park County Commissioners, Joe Tilden and Lauren Grosskopf. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 587-1400. Turning to Grizzly Bears, and I understand there was a meeting, I think it was Tuesday this week, in Cody. Lauren, what happened? What exactly was there? Is just kind of getting a feel of what the public thinks, or what kind of meeting was it?
Well, there were two things that happened last week. One was our normal bi-yearly meeting of the I call the Grizzly Committee, the Yellowstone Ecosystem Committee, which is now the Yellowstone Grizzly Bear Coordinating Committee, where the committee's charged for, it used to be the recovery of the Yellowstone Grizzly, now it's for the maintenance and monitoring of the grizzly bear. And that was uneventful compared to some of the prior meetings we had. The Grizzly Bear Study Team prepared their annual report and gave it to us, which is available on the website and other places. Basically, the numbers of bears inside the demographic monitoring area, which is pretty much area west of Cody, it went up slightly from like 690s into 710 or so. And they calculate what the mortality was. Mortality was down. The conflict numbers were down. So it was basically an update on the status of the grizzly bear and the health of the bears and, you know, the numbers of sows with cubs, you know, the normal things that are part of the criteria for the delisting effort of the grizzly bear. So the numbers and all the criteria that was set to be delisted were safe in all those things. You know, there's no indication by the numbers or the counts that is in danger of being relisted. And, you know, we talked about that. So, of course, there was still public comment, you know, about the committee should have stopped Wyoming from trying to start a hunting season. And, you know, with delisting, the management of the grizzly bears was turned over to the three states. And that was part of their management tools. You know, the committee, you know, it's not our responsibility to figure out how the state should manage within those parameters. You know, it's up to the states to manage it. You know, so that I know the anti-hunting comments and segments still comes up all the time because they don't want comments, or they don't want the hunting. You know, they're willing to make comments. So that's led to the state to propose a grizzly bear season. Then they also had a meeting this Tuesday about the proposed hunting. The game of fish is asking for comments about how the season should be structured and everything. Joe, do you want to embellish on that?
Yeah, the only thing that concerns me, and the Game and Fish Department here is walking a real fine line, because, of course, the way other trophy game animal seasons are set up in the state of Wyoming is you basically buy a license, and then they have a mortality quota, like with black bears, for instance. And each of their states divided up into areas, and say, North Fork, South Fork, we're allowed 8 bears. So when you kill a bear, you have a certain amount of time, you come in and check it in, and that's checked off the quota. And then once that mortality quota is reached, the season ends. But with grizzly bears, the problem they have, because we all know we've got a lot of grizzly bears, and they have absolutely no fear of human beings whatsoever. So the Game and Fish's main problem there is if they run it like the same season as black bears, they could end up killing too many bears. And that's their big fear. But the other problem we have is that the other night, the season that they were proposing was to basically have a draw, and they would pick 2 hunters at a time to hunt. And when one hunter got a bear, then they would pick the next person on the list and issue a license to them, and they could go hunt. But the problem being, and their fear is, that the environmental community will overload the draw system. And if you ended up with 2 environmentalists, non-hunters, they got the first 2 licenses, it would stop the season. We wouldn't have a season.
The reason they picked 2, however, is because the mortality limits under the conservation strategy was they couldn't have the excess bears that they have in their mortality limit was basically 2 sows,
two sows,
females. So once 2 females are dead, mortality, in addition to all the other mortalities, the season would end. So they could only pick two people, because if they shot two sows that didn't have cubs at their side, the season could be over. You know, you wouldn't have a season of 12 animals. You would have two sows, and that would be it.
Now, the Game and Fish Commission is going to, looks like, going to vote May 23rd, Lander, is that right?
That's my understanding.
Okay, yeah. And then their proposal that I last read, and this might have been changed, up to 24 grizzlies, is that?
Well,
what's the deal
12
with
that? Inside the DMA, okay, which is the monitoring area, right, where they're going to, the mortality limits count. Outside of that area, basically, east of Cody and south, for the delisting effort, they are not counted. So, I mean, whatever bears, you know, when we talk about 700 some bears, that is not including the outside the DMA. So the Game and Fish proposed that they could have 12 bears killed outside of the DMA. So, and they're not counted in the, you know, in the numbers, you know, and so the mortality outside the DMA is not counted towards that either. So there was 12 and 12.
It's just a matter of, so they're going to approve whether there'll be a hunt or not, or how the hunt's going to proceed. Is that what's going to happen?
Yeah, but yeah, basically they will be deciding how the hunt will proceed. Okay. They've already decided to have the hunt.
It's going to hunt. Okay.
Yeah, they're just trying to get the details ironed out.
Do you think that's the decision between now? I mean, it seems like it's going to be an eternity between now and May 23rd. But do you think it anticipate any kind of a people standing up saying, wait a minute here, we're not delaying this meeting and delaying this vote decision by Game and Fish?
You know, from the commissioners and the staff that I've talked to Game and Fish, I don't think they will allow that to happen at the meeting. I think all the commissioners and all of the staff of the Game and Fish Department are very much in favor of the bear season, and they've worked a lot of years getting to this point.
Now, I understand that Northern Cheyenne Tribe, Sierra Club, and Humane Society are suing the Fish and Wildlife Service?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
so,
that lawsuit has been consolidated, all six of them, in Missoula, in the federal court. And that's the same court that ruled against Wyoming and other states before grizzly bears and the wolves. So it's back in Judge Christensen's hands. And actually, he's already made indication that he intends on having a hearing in August. Yeah. This year.
Before
and,
the season.
Yeah. And in all likelihood, the Fish and Wildlife Service will defend the delisting effort.
Sure.
So it won't be the state of Wyoming. But we have our fingers crossed. We're going to move forward. I mean, by all criteria, the grizzly bear is recovered. There's no doubt about that. You know, so it's really the anti-hunting now is really pushing all that. And yeah, the judge should have a very difficult decision to make, that he should stop and say they have to be relisted because of arguments that have nothing to do with the actual recovery of the numbers. I mean, the recovery that was set back in the 70s, you know, they said, here's how many bears we really need biologically to make a stable population. Nobody's argued about those for years and years and years.
Yeah.
So hopefully that does not happen.
And you know, and that with the actual delisting document, there are enough trigger mechanisms in there, and Lauren knows more about it than I do. There are a lot of trigger mechanisms in there. If this happens or this happens or this happens, they're automatically relisted again.
Or considered for relisting.
Yeah,
but,
well, considered. Yeah. Considered.
So in August, you say this judge may make a decision, and it could derail the whole season possibly.
Sure. I mean, you know.
Could.
I talked to some personnel last week with the Game and Fish Department, asked them their opinion, and they said, you know, we're moving forward. We have no idea what the judge is going to decide, so we're moving forward for opening date of a grizzly season on the 1st of September.
You guys hearing for emails from people in Park County, their thoughts on this grizzly thing, or is it kind of died down? I guess thoughts and opinions about this whole thing.
Well, the last grizzly bear meeting they had in town when they first started talking about the seasons, that was back in January, even before that, maybe. I'm sorry.
They've had dozens of public meetings already.
Can't keep track of them.
Yeah.
But the last one, when they first started talking about whether we should have a season in Wyoming or not. And I was present at that meeting, and I mean, it was packed. I bet there was 300 people there. It was packed.
You almost unanimous on the season.
What if they – is there a possibility, just throwing devil's advocate stuff out here, if they say, well, okay, the bear is delisted, but no hunting at all? They, I guess, allow game and fish or you know,
well,
some other agency to take them out?
If it's delisted, then the responsibility for management of the bears is the state.
Is the state.
So and according to conservation strategy that's already been agreed upon by the three states, they've already agreed how to manage the bears and what the trigger points are, like Joe was talking about, and it's up to the state game and fish, you know, to manage them within those parameters. You know, it's really difficult the first year, and I suspect, you know, like, you know, how they're going to issue the licenses, how much they're going to cost and all that. If we can just get past, you know, 1 or 2 or 3 years, everything, just like the wolves, you know, we can get past the points. I think at some point it'll be a non-issue. But, you know, the very first year is always difficult, you know, and everybody has an opinion. So I think we need to be patient. If, you know, it's really hard, but, you know, be patient with the game of fish. You know, they're struggling too. You know, what are they going to charge? How are they going to do the limits? You know, how are they going to notify the hunters? You know, and it'll take a while to work out all those things, but I'm really confident in the game of fish. You know, we give them enough time and all the support. They need the support.
Yeah.
We can make this happen.
So hunting is part of the management regardless.
It is.
Oh, definitely.
Okay,
you
so
bet.
that's in there. And it's
been the sportsman's dollars that have funded the delisting effort and all the recovery. You know, the 90-some percent of all the money, you know, for this successful recovery has come from sportsman's dollars.
Yeah.
They're the biggest conservationists, you know, and, you know, interest in this successful recovery.
You know, the dollar figure that I saw for a license, they're talking about 24 licenses, 6 to non-residents, $6,000 for a license, a resident. That for me, for a non-resident,
yeah.
That's $600 for a resident.
For a
is
resident.
That something that's still being thrown around?
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the people they wanted people to comment on them. That was the genesis of the meeting we just had. It's expensive, but I think it shows it's a once-in-a-lifetime tag, potentially, and it's for serious hunters. And that was one of a lot of the public comments say, well, you know, by having an application fee of $5 or $10, everybody will apply. And like Joe was alluding to, there you may get flooded by people that are against hunting in hopes that they would get selected so that the real true hunters would never have a chance to hunt. But you're setting the price high enough, you know, anybody that actually got drawn and say, well, wait a minute. You know, this isn't a joke. I got to pay $6,000 or $600. Okay,
yeah,
I'm not going to do that. But it created a lot more work for the game of fish. But they wanted to engage as many people as possible and get people interested in this. You know, so it's like the difference between applying for an elk tag and a bison. You know, the bisons are $450 or something to apply, and they keep your money for a while until you decide if you get a license, or you send in like a $5 processing fee to get into a drawing. You know, there's two different theories of thought, which is the best way to go. But you know, if you're a serious hunter and you're really serious about hunting a grizzly bear, I think people would say, you know, for a once in a lifetime chance, $600 is expensive,
sure.
But you know, it would be really cool. You'd be one of the first people to harvest a grizzly bear in the lower 48.
Is this the people that are against this? They're anti hunting. Is it anti trophy hunting or just? I mean, if grizzly bear was a nice meal, would they be for it?
Personally, I think it's both.
Both.
Yeah, it's both. You know, and to me, and I've said it numerous times on this show, the environmental groups, and I won't name them, but a lot of the environmental groups, they cannot afford to have the grizzly bear delisted. I mean, that is their absolute cash cow. You know, every time something comes out about grizzly bears, they send out an email. They write a love sob story, tearjerker about grizzly bears and how we have to protect them. And when they push send on that computer, it may go out to 3 million people. Who knows? And if they get a 5 to 10% monetary return on that, that's a lot of money.
Let's go to the phone line. Caller, please state your first and last name.
Hi, guys. It's Dewey Vanderhoff.
Hey, Dewey.
Good morning.
Hi, Dewey.
Joe, I got to call male bovine excrement on your last statement, but I'm going to leave it at that.
I'm sorry. Come again. I got to turn the volume up.
I am one of those environmentalists that you constantly drag down. I do not belong to any of the organizations. I do not pay them any money. I am not against, in the least, hunting 12 bears inside the primary conservation area. We can easily afford 12 bears. I wouldn't want to see it go too much higher than that at first.
I totally agree with you.
Yep.
But I think the entire grizzly management plan plan is flawed, totally. First of all, I don't think the bear should be given over to the states. Reason being, the population is unique. The state does not own those bears. The bear, as it's proposed, even amongst the three states, you've balkanized the management so that even though it's supposed to be one unified plan and you're all on the same page and you meet once a year and sort it out, cook the books, whatever, the bear still has no real opportunity to expand into other areas where there is plenty of vacant bear habitat. Back up the Continental Divide, north and west of Yellowstone, straight west into Idaho and up into central Idaho, the notion that you somehow are doing the bear a favor by drawing a line on a map, calling that a zone of some sort. I call it the zoo zone. It's, you know, referred to your demographic monitoring area and your primary conservation, whatever. It's a zoo zone because any bear outside of that line, which, by the way, follows roads and fences and political subdivisions, not ecological boundaries, any bear outside of that doesn't count, except when it comes time to get rid of it. Any bear inside of that, you've broken it out into, I forget how many areas, I think there's 12, 15, or 18 bear management areas inside that. That is extreme micromanagement. First of all, I don't think any of this stuff even remotely resembles hunting, because for the last 40 years, but especially since Wyoming has taken over the manpower and muscle of actually managing grizzlies under federal guidelines, under federal protection, it's been Wyoming that's been doing the work, and they've been working hard, and they're good at it. It's like a rodeo, except with bears.
Okay, well, Dewey, excuse me 1 minute, but I mean, you just said that Wyoming was good at it, but in your opening statement, you said that you don't believe the state of Wyoming basically has the expertise to manage the bears, so I don't understand.
Well, that's because I'm only halfway through what I'm saying.
Oh, okay, excuse me.
All these years that we have had the mechanical authority to move bears around, take bears out, take care of problem bears, conflict bears, whatever, we're still killing between 45 and 60 of them a year. Isn't that about right?
Yeah.
You know, sure. Even if we don't have a hunt, you're going to take 60 bears, you know, just because of conflict resolution. And
or natural mortality.
Well, there's some of that, too, but that's... That's another argument, because I don't think this plan should go down to the state level while the bear has no opportunity to recover, repopulate, sustain. Nobody's looking very far into the future, and it's really not a bear plan. It's a people plan. I still think it needs to be under the federal umbrella for the exact reason that the states, and especially Wyoming, which is where the bulk of the bears are and the bulk of the shooting's going to be, are not allowing bears to propagate. This is not based on biology or ecology. This is based on the notion of the difference between wildlife and big game. One of those makes money. The other one is what you take care of so you can go the other way and shoot them. It's a strange proposition, but... You know, the fact that you leave bears inside an artificial zone, no less than 500, no more than 700, and kill anything above that, kill anything outside of that, it just isn't bear management.
Hey, Dewey, I got to take a break. Anything else you want to add before I let you go?
Good luck. I think if the environmentalists want to flood Game and Fish with money to take the licenses, Game and Fish ought to take their money, because they're going to be really hard up for it, and you're still paying $1 million a year to manage that bear, whether you hunt them or not.
Well, you know, actually, Dewey, and if the environmentalists want to flood it and spend their money to manage the bears, I'd like to see that, because I haven't seen it before.
Well, look how it happened with the wolves. How many licenses did they sell for the 20-some wolves that they shot? Everybody bought licenses.
Sure.
It was a windfall for Game and Fish. I hope it happens to grizzlies, but frankly, guys, the plan,
right.
In my world, the bear plan is dead on arrival.
All righty.
QED. Thanks.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks for your comment.
I'll let you guys respond on the other side. We're going to take a quick break on Speaker Peace. If you'd like to join the conversation today with the Park County Commissioners, Joe Tilden and Lauren Grosskopf, give us a call, 587-1400. We'll be back with more Speaker Peace right after these messages.
Time for Business Card on the Air, a local business guide for you.
For industrial quality, welding and machining, See Production Machine. They stock trailer parts and have the largest selection of metal in the area. That's Production Machine, southeast of Powell.
Who are you on the phone with?
Brian at Fremont Motor Powell.
Brian works around the clock.
Actually, he does, to get the best deals on cars, trucks, even fleet.
Okay, what's Brian wearing?
This is Brian Bischoff, fleet manager, Fremont Motors Powell, the one wearing khakis.
When you need physical or occupational therapy, exercise your choice and choose Canyon Therapy. This is Allison Tipton, and our patient satisfaction is proof positive that we're a professional team of physical and occupational therapists with diverse experience. Our successful outcomes are just one reason why patients and doctors recommend our clinic. Let us help you get back to life. Canyon Therapy is conveniently located on Cody's West Strip. Call 587-9789. Relief, recovery, results.
Listen Monday through Friday for the award-winning Speak Your Peace on KODI. Join host Darren Dudrick weekday mornings from 9 to 10 as he talks with guests covering topics that affect our local community and takes calls from you to discuss impacts. Wyoming Association of Broadcasters awarded KODI Speak Your Peace first place for best talk show in Wyoming. Tune in mornings 9 to 10 with rebroadcast from 4 to 5 in the afternoon. Speak Your Peace only on 1400 AM and 96.7 FM KODI, the Bighorn Basin's news authority.
Back by popular demand for one show only, it's the Bar J Wranglers Saturday, April 21st at Winona Thompson Auditorium in Cody. An unforgettable evening of cowboy music and ranch-style humor for the whole family. Tickets are just $25. Get yours today at Wayne's Boot Shop and Pinnacle Bank in Cody, Blowdorn Lumber in Powell, and the Meteetse Visitor Center. The Bar J Wranglers, 7 p.m. Saturday, April 21st in Cody. Proceeds benefit the Cody Heritage Museum.
Haskell Furniture is more than just a flooring store. We have experts trained in flooring and design to help you find the perfect floors for the way you live. This is flooring manager Kim Scheid inviting you to stop in and experience our unique level of personal service and our excellent selection of vinyl, hardwood, laminate, ceramic tile, and carpet in every price range. We even offer great cash and carry discounts. Haskell Furniture and Flooring in Cody, Lovell, and Moreland, where we have better than Billings pricing every day.
Hey, Joe, what you doing over there? Some kind of yoga pose?
Nah, I can't get my lawnmower to start. It's only 8 a.m. and I'm already sweating like Mike Tyson at a spelling bee.
Man, just call Precision Lawn Care. They do all my mowing, trimming, edging. They can even do fertilization, aeration, and snow removal in the wintertime. Do your blood pressure a favor and call Precision Lawn Care.
Precision Lawn Care, 899-0489. Fair prices, reliable service, quality results.
Cody Club is more than the regular membership meeting of the Cody Country Chamber of Commerce. Cody Club is a great place to network, stay in tune with the community, and learn something new. Join us as we carry on a Cody tradition that began in 1900, the first and third Mondays of every month at the Cody Club Room. For details, call the Chamber at 587-2777.
This message brought to you by Bighorn Radio Network Cares and RNA Safety in Powell and Cody, your resource for all of your drug testing and safety training needs.
We are back on Speak Your Peace. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Darren Dudrick. Today I'm visiting with Park County Commissioners Joe Tilden and Lauren Grosskopf. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 587-1400. Caller, we'll take your call in just a second. I'm going to let the commissioners respond first to our last caller regarding the grizzly bears. Go ahead, Joe, if you want
to. Yeah, the only comment I have as far as Dewey's opening statement when he said that the Game and Fish basically was not qualified or did not have the expertise to manage the grizzly bears and therefore should not have the management of them. I'd like to remind everybody, it's the Game and Fish Department of Wyoming that has brought the endangered bear back to where it is today. The federal government, they didn't do it. All they said, we're going to put them on the threatened list. But because the grizzly bear was still listed as a trophy animal in the state of Wyoming, the Game and Fish was charged with recovering that species, which they have done very well.
And so, Dewey's other comments about the DMA line, the Democratic Monitoring Area, that it was drawn by people just a line on that. That's not true. The conservation strategy is the document that guides the management of the bear. that's been developed over the last 30 years, been talked about, I mean, all the time. And there's a team of people in Missoula, the USGS people and the interagency grizzly bear study team that has been working on this for years, that was set as a suitable habitat area. And, you know, I know Dewey's talking about there's no linkage to other ones. That's not true. This last year, there's grizzly bears right now in that 60-mile corridor between Bozeman and going up to the Northern Continental Divide Trail. There's already grizzly bears in that area. They've been sighted, documented. So that corridor is available to the grizzly bears, and he's probably right. It's not socially tolerated. I mean, if you own private land, you don't want a grizzly bear in your back. I bet you half the people in Wisconsin don't want grizzly bears in their backyard. I'm sure Dewey doesn't want one in town either. You know, there's a limit on the social tolerance of grizzly bears. You know, and we have to recognize that it is a people problem. It's not just the grizzly bears, but grizzly bear is not an animal you want all across the United States, you know, like a rabbit.
Let's go to the phone line. Caller, please say your first and last name.
Jake Fulkerson.
Hey, good morning, Jake. Whoa, hey, Jake, how you doing?
Good, good. Say, first I want to say I think the commissioners are doing a fine job this morning.
No partial comment yeah. there at all.
Thanks, Jake.
All right, we're almost out of time, and you might have covered it earlier. I tuned in kind of halfway through, but can you comment on the 1 cent capital facilities tax and kind of where we are and how that's progressing, and have you heard any feedback from the public on the 1 cent tax?
Lauren, you want to?
Sure. Yeah, thanks, Jake, for calling in. And actually, the sales tax, the receipts are ahead of several months ahead of our expectations. And right now, it looks like, you know, we talked about 3 years or, you know, just before, you know, a little bit more than 3 years. Right now, we're 22 to 24 months. If it all stays where it is right now, and of course, it's difficult, you know, how big a summer you might have. But, you know, in all the numbers we saw yesterday, sometime in early 2019, it might be done.
Yeah, we're looking around sometime around the first middle of March,
yeah,
2019.
You know, it depends upon if the trend where we are right now, the trend is like 8%. It's 8% more receipts than we anticipated, you know, 2 years ago. So that means that capital facilities tax, that extra 1 cent, would come off. And hopefully next spring, a year from now, that would be off.
Nice.
And when I say off, it means it comes off. It is not extended.
No more.
If that ever tax ever comes back, it has to be back in front of the voters again. So, and that's good news for everybody. And I think all the counties and all the cities are doing projects, and they're all following exactly what the criteria was for the 1%, like the county and the state. And in fact, we put signs up in our projects. So that's all good. I mean, it's running ahead of expectations, and the money is being spent accordingly. So,
yeah. Have you got any feedback from any of the Park County citizens on how this one extra 1 cent is impacting them financially?
Personally, I haven't heard from anybody one way or the other. So that leads me to believe that it's palatable.
Yeah, I've had a couple comments from a couple farmers.
Okay, you know, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Jake.
Thanks, Jake.
Yeah.
We should remind everybody real fast, we got about a minute left, the meetings regarding the Wyoming Public Lands Initiative, April 25th in Pell and April 26th in Cody, is that right?
Yep. Exactly, and I encourage everybody to come, and if they don't want to speak or don't think they have anything to say, please fill out a comment sheet and leave it with us.
And if we have 1 minute, the commissioners decided to appoint another committee to help guide us on recommendations to the governor for the Beartooth Ranch up at the Clark area, you know, that you've read something in the papers about. So there's going to be an ad run in the paper encouraging people. I think we already have 12 people that volunteered to be on that committee to analyze what potential answers are to improve that piece of property up there in the Clark Fork Canyon.
So look for that. Meanwhile, you guys are busy as usual.
Busy.
Very.
All right, gentlemen, thanks for coming today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
We'll see you next month.
You bet.
And that will do it for Speaker Peace. Thanks for listening today. I'm Darren Dudrick. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day.
This has been Speak Your Peace with Darren Dudrick on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM KODI Cody, and 1140 AM KZMQ Grable.